welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting and talented players. And they are seated on my right, that delightful, exceptional comedian and a great exponent of Just a Minute, that is Paul Merton. I'm seated beside him, the man who's played the game more often than anybody else, Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have two fine comedians, one who's played it only once before, and he's a great stand-up, and that is Rod Gilbert. And seated beside him, somebody who's never played it before, a lovely comedy performer, Mike McShane. Would you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds is up. And as usual, I'm going to ask these four players to speak on a subject that I will give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from The Pleasance, one of the venues here at the Festival Fringe in Edinburgh. And we have in front of us a wonderful, excited Fringe audience, dying for us to start the show. So let's begin with Paul Merton. Paul, oh yes, here's a nice topical subject. How to get an audience. You get audiences very easily, but tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
One of the easiest ways to get an audience is to appear on Just a Minute. This is the 701st recording ever, and I think that, for a minute, it's a round of applause. It should last a minute. Let's hear it.
So, Clement, your...
Repetition.
Of what?
Of Paul's encouragement.
Repetition of what? Of applause?
Paul was encouraging to applaud.
But that was a visual thing, it's not a verbal thing.
Yeah.
And we work in the... So, Rod, you suppressed your buzzer then.
I'm judging by the way that you were trying to get Clement to say applause, I'm going to say applause. Repetition of applause.
But
you said to Clement, of what, applause, as if you were going to give him a point for that.
I was. But he, actually, you can't have retrospective challenges. Oh. Clement has challenged, and I disagree with his challenge.
Oh.
So Paul has a point. He keeps the subject. And there are 42 seconds left, Paul, starting now.
Another way to do it is to come to the Fringe in year one and work all the way throughout your career. Come back year after 12 months.
Clement challenged.
Repetition of come.
Yes, you came to the Fringe and come back again. Come to the Fringe and come back again. I had to be so careful because sometimes they look shocked and surprised and it's to bluff me. You couldn't have heard that, Nicholas. I did hear it. And Clement, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject. You have 35 seconds on how to get an audience starting now.
How to get an audience is the plural of how one gets an audience. And the very best way, if nobody has bought a ticket, is to go to a nursing home or a lunatic asylum and get people to come from all over the unemployed.
Paul Towns.
Deviation, this can't be the best way.
No.
To get an audience, to go to nursing homes and insane asylums.
Yeah,
I admit, looking at this lot, you could easily be tempted to think that.
No, Paul, entirely agree, yes. Deviation is not the best way, and the audience endorsed your challenge,
yes.
So you get a point again for a correct challenge, and there are 18 seconds still available. How to get an audience starting now.
It's quite tricky because Edinburgh at this time is full of performers all seeking the same audience. There are only so many people who come to this magnificent city at this time of year to experience the joy and wonders of all the arts in their great flow, whether they be jugglers, tightrope walkers, stand-up comedians, improvisers, poets. All human life is here.
Yes, in this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Paul Merton. Clement Freud's got one, and the other two have yet to speak, but there's plenty of time. And, a lovely subject for you, Clement, Scottish cuisine. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Scottish cuisine is based on heather, haggis, Harris Tweed and haddock, not necessarily in that order. I am particularly keen on clootie dumplings, which Scottish cuisine luxuriates in.
Mike, you challenged.
I did. I thought you got cuisine. I got cuisine twice.
The cuisine's on the card. You're allowed to repeat the words on the card, yes. Darling boy. He also said which is hesitation.
No.
Oh, I thought that was Scottish for and.
I can't help you, can I?
No.
So I don't know what to do. Rod, you've challenged.
Well, can I do another one of my retrospective ones?
No. You can't. I'll tell you what we do. We give you a bonus point because we love your retrospective ones.
Thank you.
And and we give you a bonus point because you tried so hard but failed. And
Thank you, Darth Parsons.
I can't help but think we're devaluing the bonus point here. If we're giving bonus points for abject failure, then it's an upside-down world, Nicholas.
But I think...
Why not? My president has been given great bonus points for abject failure.
I think two first-time players of the game deserve a little bit of encouragement like that. And so what we do, Clement, we leave it with you and say there are 44 seconds still available.
Do I not get a point?
Yes, you get a point for being incorrectly challenged.
But not a bonus point.
No, you're not a bonus point on top of that.
For being incorrectly challenged twice.
All right, because they enjoy that comment of yours, you'll give a bonus point as well.
So I'm going to get this right. Everybody, that last challenge.
And of course, we enjoyed what you just said as well. Point of pool. So, isn't that fair?
Yes.
Oh, I do love to be fair in the game. Right. Scottish cuisine is still with you, Clement, and there are 44 seconds available starting now.
Get a pound of oatmeal and spread it on a kitchen table with a flat knife. Add boiling water, salt, sugar, yeast. Stop.
Yes. Mike, you're challenged.
Hesitation?
Hesitation, definitely. Yes. Yeah, he was going very slow. There was a definite pause in between some of those words, wasn't there? Mike, can I give you a bit of a tip?
Yes,
keep
sir.
Your hand on your buzzer all the time like that.
Okay.
Because by the time you rush to get it, someone else will have challenged.
Why don't you take his buzzer and buzz it?
Actually, I wouldn't mind getting a drink. You could have my buzzer. Let me know how I get on while I'm not here.
So you have 33 seconds available on Scottish cuisine starting now.
Haggis, which is called Scottish cuisine, has always been the consolation prize of food. I've always felt that the idea that Scottish...
Paul, challenge.
Was there a slight hesitation?
There was a hesitation, yes. I'm afraid. Paul, correct challenge. 24 seconds available. You tell us something about Scottish cuisine starting now.
Scottish beef is absolutely wonderful. I love it. When I come to Edinburgh, I make sure I get hold of a piece of meat that's been hanging for 28 days, marinated in raspberry ketchup. What is...
Clement, challenge.
Deviation.
What?
It's marinated.
How's that a deviation?
But you have no problem with raspberry ketchup.
But I think if you use raspberry ketchup, you wouldn't marinate it, you would marinate it.
No, yes. Marinade is a noun,
yeah.
And marinate is the verb.
Yeah.
That's right, yes.
People get it wrong, and Paul got it wrong.
Mm.
And so the interests of grammatical excellence, I pressed my buzzer.
And you were quite right, because I know people at school do listen to this, and I mean...
Do they?
They help to instruct the pupils in the use of language and so forth, and therefore maybe I should give you the benefit of the doubt and say another point, of course, 12 seconds available. Back with you, Clement, Scottish cuisine.
If you are listening to this and you are at school... I suggest you go on hearing Paul Merton.
Paul, you challenge.
I would like to make that dream come true. Hesitation.
Yes, a hesitation, of course. He generously passed it back to you, and you've got 5 seconds on Scottish cuisine starting now.
If you walk the streets of Edinburgh early in the morning, you'll catch...
Clement, challenge.
You get arrested.
What, walking the streets... Oh, I see what you mean.
Clement, I definitely think that does deserve a bonus point. So give Clement a bonus point. Paul was interrupted. He gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, and he's got 1 second left on Scottish cuisine starting now.
The aroma of oats!
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton is in the lead. He's got 3 points ahead of Clement Freud. Mike Machane has got 2 points. Rod's got 1. Both of those were generously from the chairman. And... but, Mike, we'd like you to start the next round. Keep your hand in your buzzer still, then. And the subject is the highlights of my day, 60 seconds, starting now.
The highlight of my day in Edinburgh begins in the evening when I go to the Royal Oak Tavern, which is a folk music pub around the corner off South Bridge. It's a fantastic place. Good beer, fantastic music, and cheery people who are drunk beyond belief.
Rod, you've challenged.
Was there a repetition of fantastic?
There was a repetition of fantastic. Well listened, Rod, so you've got a point, which you've earned, and you've got 45 seconds.
Live it up, Schreiner.
Only 45 seconds,
and,
you say?
Only 45. If you haven't played the game before, 45 seconds can be very long, but anyway,
I've played it before, it's nothing.
What's that? Well, I hope it all comes to you. You played it once before.
I played it once before, 3 years ago.
Yes, it's a quick return visit by popular request. And we're lovely to have you, Rod. And you've got 45 seconds. Tell us something about the highlight of my day starting now.
The highlight of my day has to be interrupting the legendary Mike McShane on the I hadn't finished saying. I wasn't going to say legendary.
I know. It's so difficult. You think ahead, and then the same word comes up, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's how we all think most of the time. That's why this show is so, so difficult. I only say that because some people think it sounds easy. So, Paul, you challenge first.
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. You have 38 seconds. The highlight of my day is starting now.
The highlight of my day is undoubtedly when I walk on stage with everybody... Oh. I'm lying through my teeth. It's a tremendously horrible experience.
Clement, you challenge first. 33 seconds. You tell us something about the highlight of my day, starting now.
The highlight of my day this morning was when I walked into my hotel lift and inadvertently hit a woman quite hard in the front. And I apologised to her, explaining that if her heart, I made a mess of that.
Paul Challenger.
Well, if that's the highlight of your day... hesitation.
Yes, and deviation too.
Can I finish that story?
Yeah, you can finish the story.
You can finish the story.
Okay, I banged against this woman with my elbow, and we were both startled, and I said, if your heart is as soft as your bosom, you will forgive me. And she said... If your willy is as hard as your elbow, I'm in room 264.
Do you know this program's just evolved into another, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think you've taken the whole show off in a different direction.
Room 265, room 265.
No, you were challenged before you got to the end of your story.
Yeah.
And so there are 16 seconds for you now, Paul, on the highlight of my day, starting now.
Undoubtedly, the highlight of my day is going to Clement's Hotel.
Clement challenge.
The second, undoubtedly.
Yes, you did say that before. You started off, undoubtedly, the night of my day.
That's right, it is.
Yeah, it is, oh, yes.
Does the underground go under here?
Paul was looking very shocked and surprised, but it was a correct challenge. Clement, 13 seconds, you got back the highlight of my day, and do resist the temptation to go into one of your other stories. And your time starts now.
The highlight of my day was thinking about the other stories which I could have told had Nicholas Parsons not asked me not to.
Paul challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes. So Paul got in with a correct challenge for hesitation. 3 seconds, Paul. The highlight of my day is starting now.
The highlight of my day, and I say this without equivocation.
Paul, you were speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. You've increased your lead ahead of Clement Freud, and Mike McShane and Rod Gilbert are equal in third place. Rod, we'd like you to begin the next round. My patron saint. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
There are patron saints for everything these days, and right now I'm summoning up the Jeffrey, the patron saint of deviation, Jane, the patron saint of repetition, and Bungle, the patron saint of hesitation, and hoping that I do not do any of those things for the next 50 seconds or so. My patron saint is the patron saint of Wales, Saint David. Of course, he was a frugal man, although this is something of an understatement, as apparently he lived entirely on watercress. Like an early ecclesiastical Popeye, only he devoured little tubs of the salady green vegetable I just mentioned rather than cans of spinach. He was a very devout fellow, by all accounts. He once... And, it was so close.
Wow. And you went for 39 seconds before you were challenged. And as I'm being very liberal with my bonus points, and you, it's only the second time you played the game, I think we give you a bonus point just for that.
Yeah.
All right. Paul, you pressed your buzzer first, and it was...
Hesitation,
so another point to you. 21 seconds available. My patron saint starting now.
There's quite a lot of Irish in me, so I suppose my patron saint could be Saint Patrick, the man who went to that blessed isle and drove all the snakes away. Whenever I visit that place, I think to myself, I feel at home. I have many relatives there. Although I was born in England, I feel Irishness in my veins. And I look around the green, beautiful landscape. The reason why it is.
So Paul was again speaking as a whistle Wayne, gained another extra point, has increased his lead at the thing, and there's the first time we've discovered about his Irish blood. Can you do an Irish accent as well or not?
No.
No. Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject now is an Indian summer, something we have not experienced up here in Edinburgh during the festival. But talk on that subject, if you can, Paul, starting now.
This summer, I went to India to film a television programme, which was a shame because the subject was Peru. Nevertheless, as I wandered around looking at the stately elephant...
Mike, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Mike. 50 seconds for you on an Indian summer, starting now.
The Indian summer in the great Midwest of America, where I am from in the state of Kansas, is a fantastic and amazing element. It's tornado time, and what happens then is the air turns very brown, and when you're playing outside as a child, that occurs, and all the birds start chirping.
Rod,
it's the improviser going, die!
Rod, you challenge first.
Yeah, well, hesitation.
Yes,
possibly enough. Deviation.
We only need one.
Oh, hesitation.
And you've got your point for a correct challenge.
Thank you very much.
And you have 31 seconds. An Indian summer starting now.
What is an Indian summer? I have absolutely no idea. I have never...
Clement, challenge.
Let somebody else have a go then.
By all means.
No, Clement, we enjoyed your interruption. I'm generous in my bonus points, so give Clement a bonus point for the interruption. You get a point, Rod, because you were interrupted, and you've got an Indian summer still. You have 26 seconds. Gird your loins, take a deep breath, think about anything to do with summer, and start now.
An Indian summer is supposed to be a good thing, although in France they enjoy a Greek summer, and in Spain they prefer the Portuguese variety, and of course in Italy they prefer a Japanese one. I have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of prefer.
You prefer. You had two prefers.
Sorry, I saw it as a rescue mission.
Yes.
You said I had no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes,
thought I'd
right.
help out.
So, Paul, you had a correct challenge. Test. You have 15 seconds. An Indian summer starting now.
Indian summer is a term over here. Means a late summer, longer than you might have expected. Something that goes into perhaps September and October. Many people regard that as the definition of an Indian summer. As I mentioned earlier, I was in that magnificent country some...
Right, so Paul was again speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point again, has increased his lead over Clement Freud and Rod Gilbert and Mike McShane in that order. Clement, will you begin the next round? Ooh, ghost stories. Tell us something about that subject in this game, if you can. Starting now.
This man was looking for Market Harborough and got lost on the Dartmoor Downs. Looking for... I said looking before. Yeah, yeah.
Mike, challenge.
Looking, repetition.
Yes, well does. Well, listen, Mike, you're getting the hang of it now, right? You have another point. You have the ghost stories, which is the subject, and there are 52 seconds available starting now.
In Huntington, Alabama, there's a coon dog cemetery down in the deep woods. Many animals have been buried there, the important ones that are for the hunters that live in that great state. There's often a tale of a haunted hound that bays late at night, bringing chill to the blood of the moonshiners and the tax revenuers who lived in that area. He's called Old Jelly Butt, and his dewlaps hang so low that he brushes the ground when he walks, making a shuffling noise that strikes fear into the evildoer's heart. My great-grandmother, who was a moonshiner...
Rod, you've challenged.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Was there a repetition of Moonshiner?
Yes.
Yes,
yes, thank you.
You know, moonshine's so nice, you like to say it twice.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought your friend so they could confirm the challenge is correct.
Yeah, I didn't know we had a third umpire. Did you know?
16 seconds available for you, Rod, on ghost stories starting now.
I don't really believe in ghosts. It kind of annoys me that they all damn. Yeah. I was going to say ghosts, and I could have said it again.
Mike, you've got in.
It's hesitation.
You've got ghost stories back. You've got 11 seconds. Tell us more about this cemetery or something else you would like. Starting now.
The autumn leaves would rustle going late into the night.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of late.
Yes, because you're late. We were talking before.
And you've still got that funny accent.
I would resent that, Mike.
I gotta say, exactly.
What about his accent?
Well, it's nice. He's still got last night's dinner rolling around in his mouth. Come on. Apparently a lot of plums.
Right. Anyway, a bonus point for Mike, because we enjoyed what he said, but a correct challenge to Clement, so he gets a point for that. And there are 7 seconds available. Ghost stories, Clement, starting now.
Being interrupted by another failed anorexic is always extremely pleasant. My very best ghost story happened in Suffolk.
Right, Clement Freud was speaking then as the whistle went. Gained that extra point, but he's still in second place. He's just ahead of Mike McShane and Rod Gilbert, but he's a few points behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Rod, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is customer service. Will you talk about customer service in this game starting now?
Customer service really annoys me. It's something that gets on my nerves because nobody really cares, do they? Companies have worked out that they need to pretend...
Mike, challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
Jumping on the word.
Yes, it was a hesitation, Mike. So you have customer service, 51 seconds, starting now.
Once I went to return a pair of jeans to a company store, and when I went to the customer
Rod, challenge.
He went and he went again.
Yes, he went to return a pair of jeans. 45 seconds with you, Rod, on customer service starting now.
My name is Moira, and I'm very happy to help. No, you are not. You are deeply unhappy. You are doing a pointless job in a meaningless universe. You would rather be sat outside a shop on a bench drinking out of a brown paper bag than doing this particular activity that you are doing right now.
Paul, challenge.
How much drink could you get in a brown paper bag?
Ask Moira.
It wouldn't be enough to satisfy, would it, really?
Well, I think it's possible that somebody on a street who was pretty far gone might attempt...
Have you ever drunk out of a brown paper bag?
No, I've never wanted to, actually.
Oh, but
I have seen people lying in the gutter who are pretty far gone, and they've got a brown paper bag... And
that's called
been...
our core audience, thank you very much.
I give the benefit of the doubt to Rod, and he keeps the subject, and there are 32 seconds starting now.
I stopped at the services on the motorway not so long ago, and there was a twee little customer services sign on the way.
Mike,
services,
Chan.
Repetition.
Yes, repetition, Mike. Well,
it's
listen.
Services is in the title.
No, service, customer service.
In the plural?
That's a new low for just a minute.
No, just wait till I get back on the mic. I'll make a new low for you.
Customer service, Mike, starting now.
Hello, I'm Janine. I'm here to help you. Please fill out form P45. And after you're done with that, let me see an eye scan and a fingerprint examination. We'll take you into the refund room where we'll drop your trousers and examine you for our customer potential service. After that, you'll be given an ID number and sat in a room for 15...
Rod, challenge.
Room?
Yes.
Was it 2 rooms?
To another room.
Room.
Yes, there's a room there. So, Rod... You've got in with 8 seconds to go on this subject. Customer service starting now.
I stood in a queue in Marks and Spencer's not so long ago behind a woman who was claiming that she had paid far too much for an outsized bra. Now, if only that was the same with men and their pants.
So our first-time players of the game, Rod Gilbert, was speaking of the whistle, went and got that extra point, and he's crept up. He's now, actually, in second place. And Mike is in third place alongside Clement Freud. So, a slow start, but it's all paying off now. And we're moving into the final round. Paul, we're back with you to start. And the subject I've got here is Forever and ever. Tell us something about that charming subject in this game, starting now.
This 701st recording of Just a Minute will go out from this planet in the form of radio waves and travel across the universe and beyond forever and ever. Somewhere in a distant planet, we will see an individual one day arise up as some form of life form that we haven't experienced before, but they'll know how to play Just a Minute. The audience of the Earth will look amazed as this extraterrestrial being emerges from its spaceship and says, I was once walking down the street. Then I saw Buzz, and somebody says, why did you make that noise? Because he repeated that single letter. That seems a bit harsh, would say the man from outer space, but indeed it isn't, because that's the way we play this game on Earth.
As I'm always fair in this game, when somebody else went for 40 seconds, I gave them a bonus point, and Paul went for 44 seconds, right. Rod, I think you challenged.
There was a little bit of a hesitation there, I thought, a little bit of a stumble. But if I don't have that, then very early on, I think you repeated Just a Minute, but I'm not sure, I wasn't sure if that was allowed within the rules of the game, so I let it go as long as I could. Yeah. And then it became intolerable.
You have a correct challenge for your first challenge.
Oh.
I can't give retrospective ones. 16 seconds, Rod, on forever and ever, starting now.
Forever and ever, amen. Those are the last words of the Lord's Prayer, which, as a child in a little primary school in Wales, I had to recite morning and night before we would go home to see our lovely parents, where hopefully they would live forever and ever, and we would all be very happy in our little cottage.
This is where I give you the final situation. Mike McShane, who's not played the game before, and Clement Freud, who's played it more times than we can remember, came together, both contributed fantastically, but both finished equal in third place. They were 7 points behind Rod Gilbert in his second outing in Just a Minute, finished up in a powerful second place. But a few points behind the man who took the lead, stayed there, and so we say this week, Paul, you are our winner. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Mike McShane, and Rod Gilbert. I think Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, she's blown the whistle very elegantly because it's the first time she's done this particular job. And we're grateful to our producer, to Lucia Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very indebted to this lovely audience here at the Pleasance, at the Festival Fringe, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute! Yeah!